Okay, questions, comments, Parakuf Gimel.
Big cleanup.
Also, like, isn't it amazing how much of Avodah Zarah there was?
So much.
Like, we sit there and think that, oh, Malchus Yisrael, that was Avodah Zarah, but Malchus Yisrael wasn't so bad.
I thought we said there wasn't a lot.
There's certainly a huge variety here. We said that it wasn't as bad as we think, according to the Rosh Hashanah, because look, Yehu killed X number of people in Malchus Yisrael. But now we're looking over, we had already seen that Malchus Yehuda had as much of Avodah Zarah going on. The only difference, Malchus Yisrael, their big downfall was that they broke away. But here, you read these psukim, it's like every Avodah Zarah under the sun.
Why can't I just say they destroyed all the Avodah Zarah? Why doesn't he go to each one specifically?
Show us how bad
it is. How much of it does?
Yeah, but each one there's an Asherah tree. Doesn't he mention that every time? He mentions that a bunch of times.
Yeah. He had to get rid of, that's my big pun, the idolatries. He had to get rid of all those idolatries.
Also, after whatever his name is, the good guy.
Yoshiao?
Yeah.
The good guy.
So he gets rid of everything. Also, number one, like, we did shoot. It seems like we did the shoot.
To me, that thing's no more question. Like, where's that pasuk where it says he does amazing? No one did tshuva like him. Where's that?
25?
But God is still really mad.
Before him, there had never been a king like him who returned to Hashem with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his resources in accordance with the entire Torah of Moshe. After him, no one arose like him.
And this is great, right? Mm-hmm.
It could be, though, that he was getting rid of, but not, he was getting rid of all the idols, but not like
but they were probably was. They were probably really mad about it.
Okay, so let's see.
Also, Yochas, right after, it says that he did just like his forefathers. So
forefathers, but not his fathers. Fathers,
right,
sons.
No,
right.
Evil. So
let's start from the beginning. Does Yoshiyahu accept the prophecy of doom of Chulda? Absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not. He says, we already said a number of times, a nevuah for bad can be overturned with tshuva. So I'm going to set out to do not just personal tshuva, but he's going to have a mass tshuva. Am Yisrael. He goes on the biggest tshuva campaign ever. He makes a bris with the people. They have a Pesach like never before. Destroy all the Avodah Zarah. Right?
Where's the Valley of Kidron?
Down there.
Really?
Yeah. Down there. And there's going to be a Pesach like never before. And this is the answer. And what do they get rid of? Okay, what do we remember? Baal, Asherah, the Tzva, Shemayim, stars, Bamot.
The extraman one, was that one?
Oh, yeah, there's one of those. Yeah. There's Kedeshot, which Kedeshot are like the prostitutes for Avodah Zarah. You got rid of Tophet. Tophet means like from the word tupim, is drums. It's like what they play drums so you drown out the screaming of the kids when they have child sacrifices. Where's the place you do the child sacrifice? To Molech.
Volcano.
Right? Mavir Benav Molech.
These
volcanoes are on the movies that you've seen. They worship the sun in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Oh, and then we had fulfilling the Nevuah that we read in Malachim Aleph. Right? Where they burn the bones of the Nevi'im.
He filled up something with bones.
He burns the bones of the Kohanim for Yeravim.
Why do you have to take the ashes to Bethel? What's up with that?
Oh, so first of all, that's an interesting thing. What's he doing in the Shomron? Isn't that part of Ashur? Didn't the 10 tribes go off into Galut? What's he doing there? So it seemed that he reconquered part of the Shomron. And it's now under Malchus Yehuda. That's what it's got to seem, because otherwise, what's he doing in Beit El?
Yeah, but why does
he owns now Beit El.
He's conquered it.
This is a fulfillment of the Nevuah. He finds that this is what he's doing.
The Nevuah said stuff about ashes?
Yeah.
Read back Malachim, Yud Gimel, Perek Aleph. Malachim Aleph, Yud Gimel, Bet.
It's not possible.
You can do it. You can do it.
Okay. He called out to the altar by the word of Hashem and said, "Altar, altar, thus said Hashem, behold, a son will be born to the house of David. Yoshiah will be his name, and he will slaughter upon your priests in the high places. He burns sacrifice upon you. Human bones will be burnt upon you."
There you go.
It just says human bones.
Okay, and that's what happened
ashes.
Right here.
Doesn't say anything about taking the ashes to Beit El.
Okay. Here, upon you, in Beit El, this is where this is.
Why change upon you?
Okay, I'll ask you when we get up there.
Now, one thing I would have assumed to find here is that he destroyed the Eglei Zahav of Yerubim Ben Nevat.
That's true.
How come it's not mentioned?
Maybe he didn't.
Turn to Hosea. Perek Yud. Sukkim Hey and Vav. Hosea is the first of Treasar. Okay, where's Treasar found?
After
right after Yechezkel.
After Dosas.
Okay?
Hosea, not what?
Hosea, Perek Yud. Sukkim Hey and Vav.
Who had it in there, dude? I'm turning back to where I came from.
Because of the calves of Bet Eden, the inhabitants of Shomron will be frightened, for its people will mourn over it, as well as its priests who used to rejoice over its glory, which has been exiled from it. It too will be brought to Ashur, a gift to the king of Jared.
Okay, so the Egli Azav had already been taken by Ashur. When the 10 tribes went off into Galut, you have, you know, solid gold calves that was taken and melted down, whatever, they took it. So when he's coming, he's dealing with other things. The Egli Azav, they're already long gone. When the 10 tribes were exiled, they were taken away off to Ashur. That's why they're not mentioned over here. Let's see. Divrei Yom and Bet, 35:18.
Yoash, king of Israel, sent word back to Amatziah, king of Yehuda, saying, "The thorn bush."
Where are you reading?
Such a Pesach offering.
Once, yeah, just so you should find it. Divrei Yom and Bet, 35:18. 2019.
Such a Pesach offering and not to be celebrated since the days of Shmuel the prophet. None of the kings of Israel have performed like the Pesach offering that Yoshiah did with the Kohanim, the Levim, all of Yehuda and Yisrael, who were present, and the inhabitants of Yerushalayim.
Okay, so who celebrated? Yehuda and Yisrael that are present. So who is Yisrael that are present? It could be what we said last week, that when, or last yesterday, whatever it was, that when Am Yisrael was exiled from the 10 tribes from the northern kingdom, some of them went to the closest neighbor. That was just go south into Yehuda. It could be what I just said to you a second ago, Yirmiyahu. Why was he not there when they were looking for, they went to Chulda? Because he was out bringing Jews back. So there were Jews that were not from Yehuda or Benjamin that were living in the southern kingdom. And they're celebrating Pesach with everyone else. Now, in Perichav Gimel, Pasach Chav Hey, what did it say about Yoshiyahu? We read it already. You get Yudchet Hey. Go, read.
Before him, there had never been a king like him who returned to Hashem with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his resources, in accordance with the entire Torah of Moses, and after him, no one arose like him.
Okay. And now, Yudchet Hey, what does it say about Chizkiyahu?
He trusted in Hashem and God of Israel after there was not anyone like him among the kings of Judah, nor among those who preceded him.
Okay, is this a contradiction? No. With Chizkiyahu, what it's referring to is when it comes to bitachon, trust, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was no one like him before or after. What's Yoshiyahu's, what's the praise about him? As far as tshuva. As far as a mass tshuva, no one did as much as him. So now, what?
Not even David.
So now the question is, so how come right after that pasuk that says that no one's as great as him, that it says and God is still angry?
Because he's not angry with him, he's angry with everyone else.
Also, we could say, like Yo Yachaz went right back to the
also
the
sometimes
old ways
Shuba's of, not enough.
So he might have gotten rid of everything.
But it's even strange. Look at, read Chav Vav and Chav Zayin again. 26:27. Nevertheless,
Hashem did not relent from his great flaring anger, for his anger had flared up against Yehuda because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had angered him. So Hashem said, Yehuda as well will I remove from my presence as I removed Israel. I will reject the city which I have chosen, Yerushalayim, and the temple of which I had said my name should remain there.
Right, just like I sent the northern kingdom into Galut, I'm going to send southern kingdom into Galut. It's a little strange that the Gzar Din comes in the time period of the greatest king. I couldn't wait until after he died and said, oh, well, your son's a loser. So
I think to maybe show exactly how bad they were. Even he's not. It's just like, you know, you get all bad grades, your parents are mad at you, and come home with one good test grade, like, they don't care.
Right. It's I give the analogy, it's like you're down 30 points going into the fourth quarter, so the coach pulls the entire starting five, puts in the bench, and they go. They have such an amazing quarter, and they outscore the other team 40-20. But you still lose by 10. Like, you were too much of a deficit. It doesn't matter how great you played in the fourth quarter, you were just down too much. And in the end, it was too little, too late. right, maybe had you done this in the first half, we could have talked about it. But now it's too little, too late. So it's sort of what you're saying.
You're saying your GPA is still going to be garbage.
You're going to what?
Your GPA is still
going to be garbage. Look at Yirmiyahu, Perek Gimel, Vav, and Zion. Page 1077.
The Vim, I have a lot of production.
I said, even after she had done...
Wait, read 6 and 7.
Oh, 6 and 7?
6 and 7.
Hashem said to me in the days of King Yoshio, have you seen what rebellious Israel did? She went out to every high mountain and under every leafy tree and committed adultery there. I said, even after she had done all these things, return to me, but she did not return. And her unfaithful sister, Yehuda, saw what befell her.
Okay, so what do we see from this? Maybe Yoshio did tshuva, but maybe the people didn't really do such tshuva. Maybe it wasn't so heartfelt. Maybe they were unmoved by the amazing Pesach, that there wasn't one like, you know, since the time of Yehoshua. Maybe, you know, and they went back to their Avodah Zarah. And that's why...
Like they had a good shana off, and then they went back. And
they went back.
Didn't even have a good shana off.
Right.
They one guy.
They did like they did, or they did okay during Hamer. You know, and then that was it.
It wasn't even one guy who did well, and that was it. And everyone, maybe a few people, you know.
Uh huh. Yeah.
How come Yoshio had to die the way he did, like by the hand of the sword?
So now, what happens with Yoshio? So, the discussion between Nacho and Yoshiyahu, the Egyptian king, trying to convince him, listen, I just want to cut through your country to go and fight. This is not your affair. Just I want passage, stay out of it. I'm bringing my army up because I have a battle up in the north. And Yoshiyahu thinks it's like a trick. You want to come in and you want to attack. So he goes to war and he dies. And all he really wanted to do is he wanted to like go through Israel to the Shomron, you know, to get to Assyria. I don't know, Yoshia was trying to maybe unite the people, Yehuda and Shomron, and now they're going to travel through. He doesn't understand. But it's a political mistake. And it's a political mistake that leads to his end. I saw this beautiful idea. In Gemara Megillah, on Daf Bet, it says, it talks about the Targum of Yonatan ben Uziel. It says Yonatan ben Uziel, he had like this amazing commentary, and he said things, and he says, for example, explaining a pasuk in Zechariah, that they're talking about the end of days, the morning will be as great for like Mashiach ben Yosef, as, and he quotes a pasuk, and he says this will be as great as when Ahab was killed and Yoshiah was killed combined. Okay, so now the question is, Ahab and Yoshiah, what do the two of them have in common? I mean, they couldn't be more dissimilar. Ahab is a Rasha, Yoshiah is a Tzaddik.
They still might have loved Ahab.
So, Ramanash Aviner says like this. He says, Ahab cared about Am Yisrael, and we spoke about that. He was willing to be propped up in his carriage, bleeding out, to try to lead the people onto victory. And he was an astute political leader, but he lacked spirituality, and he was influenced by his wife. Yoshiyahu cared a lot about Ruchnius, but made political mistakes. In the future, we'll have Beit Rachel, Ahav comes from that, Beit Leah, Yoshiyahu comes from that, join with care for both the Ruchnius and the Gashmius to secure our future. That's how Ramanash Avina reads like that idea of, you know, joining together Yoshiyahu and Ahav. All right, we'll stop here. We'll continue Be'ezrat Hashem Manana.